Doesn't it seem like the year's just kind of going by faster? For this crowd up here, that's true. For that crowd downstairs, it's not so true. For that crowd downstairs, this last month leading up to Christmas felt like a year. And for many of us up here, every other month feels like Christmas. They kind of keep clipping by a little faster as you get older. And it just seems like time is moving. It's just interesting. I just whispered over to Paulette during worship there. I was like, how long was it now that we adopted our kids from Ethiopia? And she said, 2006. We got a 16 going right now. And I'm like, what? 10 years. That just kind of flew by. It's just moving quick. And I'm sure it didn't, is not moving as quick to them, but it's going to, speeding up. I remember when we first adopted Matea and Judah, they came from one of the poorest regions in Ethiopia. Some told us that they might not even understand what it's like for the breakability of glass may be foreign to them. Like this is a remote place that they came from. And so we bring them into this place, and people are asking, a lot of people ask the same question whenever I'd meet them. They ask the same question. What did they think when you first brought them to Walmart or Meijer or something like that? What do they think when, you know, some of these very different worlds meshed with theirs? And the answer really is not much. They didn't really think that much about it, because as a kid, it's like life is just moving from one room to the next room. And this was their new room. And this is what they dealt with at this moment. And it's a bigger room. It's a nicer room. It's got more stuff in this room. I'm going to play in this room just like I played in the room before. And we just kind of move through rooms. And really, that is the reality of what we are all like, is that we are moving through rooms. I want to talk today about this new year and that you are building a house. It is not just a room-to-room experience. We are moving through this life. It is new experiences, new rooms. But if we do not have the mentality of building something as we go, the new room will just be a new room, instead of a new room having opportunities in it that you could have prepared for the room before it. We need to be building a foundation so as we go up the house, it's better and better and better and better. That's what wisdom is. The biblical definition of wisdom really is that you will do the right thing today so that tomorrow doesn't stink. And fools, the biblical definition of fool, is someone who invests in today because they don't think about tomorrow, and the consequences of tomorrow will take care of themselves. I'm going to do what I need to do today. And a fool takes care of it today, lives for today. Consequences are pretty bad. And when we move into the next room, the fool's like, what's up? This really stinks. And the wise man says, this isn't so bad. And we keep moving through our life. And that's just true. I've talked about this, and I think here, what you reap what you sow. I think I preached on that one time here before. Very similar topic of today. Well, we're going to talk specifically about friends. I'm going to do a little series with you guys for the next 3 weeks. It's called Friends for Life. And to begin our friendship talk, we really need to talk about who we are drawing close to us. Who we are making close to us, who are going to help us be wise. Our text today is from Proverbs 13:20. It says this. It's just one verse, so I have it on my phone in case I forgot, but I didn't forget. So Proverbs 13:20 is this. It says this. It says, walk with the wise, and you'll become wise. But the companion of fools suffers harm. Two parts to that. We're going to talk about, mostly we're going to talk about the first part of that proverb. It is a promise. If you walk with the wise, you'll become wise. If you walk with people that invest in tomorrow and think about tomorrow and understand tomorrow, then you're going to be a person that's going to think about, invest in, and be wise about tomorrow. And you'll wake up tomorrow and it won't stink quite as bad. Life still hits us all for sure, but there are things we can be doing to not self-destruct. Walk with the wise, you will become wise. And so as I was prepping and thinking and trying to figure out what I was going to say about this today, I just thought, you know, a number of people in my life, a number of names started coming into my head. And I started thinking, maybe today is just kind of, and this is kind of what I end up migrating to often, I know anyway, but maybe today is story time. And today is an opportunity for me to tell you of some of the wise people that were in my life that have helped me be who I am today. And I need to compare that, contrast that with another friend of mine whose name is Kurt. Kurt's a good guy. Kurt's a good friend of mine. Kurt and I were both young. Kurt and I were both excited about living life, having fun, playing basketball. It was kind of our whole life. And so we went to this small Bible college, not because we wanted Bible, because we wanted to start on the basketball team. And this was a small enough Bible college. I often describe it as one step above eighth grade girls. So, hey, you know, something I got to do. And I played on this team, and I knew that I could start. I knew that I could play. I knew I could have some fun. And it was really living in that room in that moment for that time. And it was fun. It was a great time. Kurt came along with me. Kurt was a better ball player than I was. Kurt, well, I'll start with my, I averaged 18 points a game. Not bad. Kurt averaged 33 points a game. The rest of the team, there wasn't a rest of the team. It was just us. And we didn't win a lot of games, and we weren't all that good, but well, we enjoyed our time there at the small Bible college, and we lived out this life. And so we're having fun. We're playing basketball. We're dating the two cutest girls on campus, happen to be sisters. And then I met someone way cuter afterwards, right? Getting caught up in my stories here. And as I'm going through, now I'm distracted. All right, as we're going through, I really want you to understand the difference between Kurt. I mean, Kurt, as I look back on it, he had equal opportunity to see some things, to meet some people, and to be interacting with people like I did. I'm not going to try to throw Kurt under the bus because I love Kurt. I think he's a great guy. I just don't think he listened to the same people I listened to. And I look at my life, I don't think I really had it all together at all. I just think I had the fortune of being around people that were wise. And I know that if you want wisdom, I know the way you get it is to read the Word, but I also know that we are all fallen people that just don't read. And the reality is that if you really want, what I pray for with my kids is that they get in the Word. They don't get in the Word as much as they probably should. I don't get in the Word as much as I should. I pray my kids find wise friends like I had wise friends. Wise people that live their life based on the Word are the people that are going to have the most influence on us. Because the reality is this, most people, even if you read something and believe something, you're still going to do what your friends are doing. You are who you're with. And so let's be wise in 2016. Who are we going to walk with? Who do we know? And ahead of time, are we going to intentionally say, that is a person that I know is living a life that I want to live like? And they might have one foot up on what's in the next room more than I do. If you know that who that person is, get to know them. Be with them. Pull them close. Learn from them. Often these people are older people. They're people that have already been in the next room, or three, or seven. And that's okay. Those are people that I want to talk about today, that were some people in my life that maybe weren't as cool and relevant to me as a 19, 20-year-old, but listening to them has really shaped my life. And the first person I want to talk about is a guy by the name of Doc Doty. Doc Doty was a founder of Great Lakes Christian College, the school that I was at. I got to know Doc Doty towards the end of his life. As I was, as a student there, he was way past his prime. He was way into his 80s, maybe even close to 90. Dementia had started to set in. Some Alzheimer's had set in with his mind. And they, out of respect, they gave him a corner office that just kind of let him sit and study. And they let him teach one class a year. And the class that they let him teach the semester that I was there, one of my last semesters there, was Hebrews, Book of Hebrews. And so myself and another girl were the only two that signed up for the class. There was just two of us. And Doc Doty preached like it was a full auditorium of people, and he put his podium up, and he just talked really loud, and he had his, you know, his lecture voice, and it was just the two of us sitting right here. And I never took notes in college. I always had somebody take notes for me, and this was no exception, even though it was two of us. Pretty embarrassing, I know, but you know, it's pretty hard to hide when it's just two of you. But yet he was still kind of looking out more because it was, in his mind, maybe a full class. I don't know. But Doc Doty came and preached. And he showed up week one and he said, Hebrews chapter 1. And he starts talking about all that he knows about Hebrews chapter 1. And it's blowing me away. Like, I'm not a note taker, but I was like, hey, I need a pen. And I start taking notes. Like, it takes a lot for me to take notes, so I started taking notes. The next week came, and Doc Doty wasn't in his room, and I kind of knew what happened, because I forgot class. So I went down to his office, and I knocked on his door, and said, hey, Doc, can I walk you to class? Oh, yeah. And he walks down, and he sets the podium up. Hebrews chapter 1. And he preaches. And I'm like, oh, do we tell him? Week 3, Hebrews chapter 1. Week 5, Hebrews chapter 1. And every week that he came in, he truly thought this was a new, fresh start. A new group, a new beginning to talk about Hebrews 1. He was not building on Hebrews. His mind was gone. I took notes every week. There's something new every week because there's something deep and rich about his knowledge and his understanding of Hebrews chapter 1, because he lived his life in a way that ate the word daily and it came out of him. Even if his mind was crazy, his heart was full. That was an experience for me that told me I want to live my life in a way that's going to base myself on the Word, a person that's going to get into the Word, a person that's going to understand and is going to listen to that Word. And I feel like I've lost some of that as of late, but I tell you, that is a foundational thing. Be around someone who's wise and it'll ooze over to you. Walk with the wise, you'll become wise. Second person that I met was Gary Hawes. He's the dad of the two girls we were dating. And he approved of me, but he didn't really approve of Kurt as much, I don't think. But anyway, another story. I'm getting into story time more. Gary was a campus minister at Michigan State, and he was the director of campus ministries throughout the whole state of Michigan. And I began to drive across town from my Bible college over to East Lansing to Michigan State, where this campus ministry was going on. And Gary was somebody that I grew fond of. I looked up to. I heard him speak occasionally. And he just had a way about him that I wanted to hear more. That was a good one. That was a good one. That I remember Micah doing that, right? One of the first times I preached at Encounter, and we brought Micah to the back, and she was loud. It was like, yes, that's my daughter. How many more people can I embarrass? And so Gary was somebody I looked up to, someone I listened to, somebody I wanted to be like. And Gary had a statement that changed my life. And again, it was about understanding the next rooms. And as a young, formidable college student, I heard Gary tell me, every leader of tomorrow is on campus today. And that stuck with me. Every leader of tomorrow is on campus today. You want to change the world? He says, you want to change the world tomorrow? You want to be wise about changing the five rooms down the road? Then you get on campus today. I did that. Been in campus ministry for 20 years. Don't regret a bit of it. Love that I'm investing in college students. Love to see where they go. Love to see what they become. Love to see the leaders that they turn into. I am grateful that I walked with a man who told me with great conviction, every leader of tomorrow is on campus today. Changed my life. Changed the course of who I was and what my occupation was going to be. Another person that I met was a guy named Al Hamilton. Al Hamilton, he's gone with the Lord now, so I find it to be safe that I can say that word without you, some of you raising an eyebrow, because he was a really weird dude. Kind of a crazy dude. But he lived his life on mission like no one I'd ever met. And during my college years, I would go over to his apartment, never had money, always gave it away, had an awesome family, and they just were all about missions. He started his own missions organization. I think Paulette and I might have been like 2 of 10 people that ever went through the organization. It was just a really small, thrown together kind of thing called Outreach International. Can't believe I remembered that. And I would hang out with Al throughout the day, and he would say, glad you showed up today. We're going to go down, and we're going to hang out with Vietnamese people today. I'm like, all right. And so there was like a Vietnamese crowd that had kind of moved into town. We're going to help them. We're going to get them places to live or whatever, and we just... And he had fun the whole time. He's whistling the whole time. He's quoting crazy movies all the time. And he was just a nut. And yet, he was always asked to like go preach or things like that. He says, you know what? I've been asked to preach. We're going to go up to Manistee to preach, this little church. Why don't you come with me? I'm like, yeah, it's great. So I hop in the car with him, and he said, and you're going to be the one that's going to deliver the sermon. And so, I mean, this guy was absolutely a nut, but he just always pulled people along. He always pulled young people in with him, and then he'd just throw you up in front of people to do stuff. And I really have to say that a lot of who I am today is because I was thrown into stuff because of Al Hamilton. And he had a quote that stuck with me, a quote that still resides within me today. I can quote it right off the top of my head. It's something that he always said, is he said, you don't ask God for small-sized things. You ask God for God-sized things. He says, if you want to go to your mom and you ask your mom for a gift, you expect a mom-sized gift. So you don't go to the President of the United States and you ask the President of the United States for dinner. He says, you ask the President for a President-sized gift. And he says, when you go to God, you don't ask God for some small president-sized gift. You ask God for a country. I took that to heart. I believed that. So I'm going to go to the Philippines. We're going to take the Philippines, man. Stupid 20-year-old. We got three campus ministries in the Philippines, and I don't think they'd be here unless I had some crazy dude looking at me and just telling me, you ask God for guy-sized things. So that's where that sort of came from. And now I'm kind of in a spot where I'm like, you know what? I want to be that kind of a person that's praying for God-sized things. And maybe that's my challenge for you today. Pray for God-sized things. Are we so consumed with grandma's going to be sick, you know? That's always here. That's always in this room. There's always something to pray about right now in our immediate needs. And I need to pass this test. Yeah, I know, but God size. Let's pray for God size things. I think I had another person. I can't remember now who it was. Oh, yeah, Randy. Randy Garris. Somebody that's just formulated a lot of my ideas about marriage. He was a preacher down in Joplin, Missouri, and he came and spoke to our campus ministry. And he talked about marriage, and his quote, the thing that he was known for is he just said that your investment, where your heart is, where your treasure is, where your investment is, that's where your heart's going to follow. Right? You guys know that Matthew passage. And when it says where your treasure is, that doesn't necessarily just mean money, but a lot of times it is money. Where your money is, that's where your heart is. But it's also where your investment is, where your time is, where your whole investment is, that's where your heart's going to end up being. And so are you in a room right now that you're investing in your family, investing in your wife, investing in your husband? Because tomorrow, if you don't, tomorrow your heart's not there. And as you gotta go through this house, as you go from room to room, I'm beginning to live in the upper rooms of understanding what it's like to have a wife that absolutely loves me, and I get to reap the benefits of that. It's awesome. Where your treasure is, where your heart will be. And so I'll end with just two quick stories. I just know that when I first got into campus ministry, I saw so much happening in my life through what God had done with me and these people in my life. And I went to this retreat, and there's a Christian church campus ministry. Now, this is not all campus ministries of all denominations. It's just our denominational retreat. And it was nationwide, and they said, we want to talk about all the ministries that are going on overseas. I was like, oh, I'd love to hear about all these ministries that are going on overseas. And so I show up to the meeting, and they talked about Hungary, a ministry that I had started, my brother had taken over. And it went with Paulette, and I went on together on a trip. And then the other one was the Philippines. And they said, yeah, there's a guy named Arnold doing the campus. I was like, yeah, I hired him. He's actually working with me. And I say that because I don't say that to brag on me, because what I did was so minor. But I walked away from that feeling sad that not enough people were dreaming dreams about what tomorrow could look like. And I just want to tell you, it's just an average dude that does the work of the Lord, an average person, whatever you're going to do in your community, in your neighborhood. You pray those prayers and you ask God what he wants you to do, investing in tomorrow. Amazing things happen, and you might wake up and be like, I had no idea that I was leading in this area. I was leading my family. I was leading my parents are looking to me now. My neighbors are looking to me. This is the kind of thing that will happen if we walk with the wise, become wise. And so I met Kurt last summer, went golfing, something we always did together, something he continues to do. Nothing wrong with golfing. But as I met with him, we talked about his divorce. We talked about the things that he was investing in that moment, in that day, which seemed very similar to the things that he used to invest in that moment, in that day. What party we're going to go to tonight, what things we're going to, you know, those kind of things that were just for the moment. And I'm not trying to throw my buddy under the bus because he's a good friend of mine, but I'm going to tell you, as he's going through life, these new rooms are new challenges and they're not really building upon themselves. And so I'm here to tell you I have a number of things that I've not done well too. So I'm not trying to make this sound like, well, I'll be like Pete. As I'm halfway through the sermon, it's like, be like Pete Coco. No. Walk with wise. That's my message. Listen to people that are wise, that have done some things ahead of you, because there is incredible benefit from that. This week was a hard one for me because I got asked to do a funeral. I don't do funerals, man. I'm in campus ministry. I do weddings. And I've had the unfortunate opportunity to do a handful. Usually it's family members or a grandpa or something like that. But this was a different one because this was a family that didn't go to church, and they called Eastview and they said, can you send someone over to do this funeral? A number of the staff were traveling, and so they called me up and said, would you be willing to do a funeral? And coming out of a time where I know that the idea of losing your son is a very real possibility, I kind of had a heart for that. And I said, yeah, it was a young person, 21 years old, committed suicide. And so just seeing that loss, you guys have seen it. You guys have seen the absolute like tragedy of like this beautiful, awesome, young, good-looking dude that has a whole world ahead of him that just decides it's not worth it. And you're like, why? It doesn't make sense. Doesn't compute. I don't want to diminish chemical depression. I don't want to diminish the seriousness of that in any way, shape, or form. So please hear me on that. But I also want to be really clear. As I was listening to the parents, as I was listening to the friends, he lived a life of a fool. And he had a bunch of fools around him that really lived for the day. And you see these guys coming up. And I say fool with a compassionate heart. Usually fools like, you're an idiot. No, you're just a guy living for today. And you go to this funeral and you see a bunch of people living for today, and you just, no matter how much you can say tomorrow, or it's blinding to them. And it was just a frustrating funeral to preach, to be honest with you. And I just want to use that as kind of ammunition to kind of fill us in today, just be like, don't be a fool. Don't live your life for today. Live it for tomorrow. And today ends up becoming really cool at the same time. I think if I talk anymore, I'm going to ramble. So I'm going to pray. So Jesus, I want to thank you for being a God that understands this whole picture, and you're helping us build a whole life. I want to ask God that you would help us to be people that live in a way that, I think the older we get, the more we really do recognize the importance of wisdom, but we don't really often see how that looks. So help us to be people that see wisdom in other people, that we would hang with those people, that we would listen to those people, that we would build our lives on the, the quotes from Scripture and from their lives that would help us understand that we are people that need help. We can't do this alone. We got to do this together. And so as we enter into communion, would you help us to understand the greatest of all hopes and the greatest future that we have to look forward to is already taken care of? You invested your life in a way that allows us to live for tomorrow forever and ever with you because you died for us. Thank you for being wise. May we join in that at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.